Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
One is Mark and John, the co-hosts. They're alive. They are not ghosts. It's Five Cold Screams. It's Five Cold Screams. It's a nightmare, not a dream. Five Cold Screams. It's Five Cold Screams.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Oh, Mark, I am so excited about our guest this week. Please let everyone know who is joining us.
They're an actor and performer you've seen in Baby Wants Candy, Between Two Ferns, the movie, and Reno 911, Defunded. It's Giovanni.
Hi. Yeah.
Air horns. Air horns do like get the party started. Am I right?
Absolutely.
We've been Pavlovian trained right now to be like,
I almost feel like
party.
If someone wants to use them in an emergency on a boat accident, people would just start partying. If you hear that air horn.
Somehow tequila would just
so
appear.
Stupid. Yeah. That's so stupid.
They've lost their original purpose. Like, I wonder if silly string used to be like a flotation device or something. You know, something. Yeah,
yes. Used to be only for funerals.
And then yeah. this is our first Five Cold Screams of 2022, which is when we're due just horror movies for the month, because now it's spooky season.
Yes.
Giovanni, are you? I did have a question before we start getting into that, though.
Okay.
All right.
This is for the group. Would you rather see a middle-aged woman climbing up your walls or a man on fire in the living room?
Man on fire in the living room. Easy.
Me too. Me too.
Ooh, why?
Because that, I have my reason, but go ahead, okay. Gina, if you have one.
I'm not that into my living room, and I have a reason to redecorate.
Oh, you were thinking beyond.
Interesting.
That was not my reasoning.
I mean, there's a lot of logical reasons that might explain why a person is on fire in the living room, and all of those things are replaceable. But somebody climbing up the walls, like, that's just like,
that's
shit's gonna
uncanny.
Go down for real.
Yes.
Somebody's probably about to jump their whole spirit into my mouth.
Yeah,
and like, it's just gonna be a worse day. I think.
Exactly. I think a man on fire in the living room. I know what this is. I know how to handle it.
Yeah, I've cleaned this up before.
I've cleaned up messes before. But a woman climbing at the wall is like, oh, everything I thought I knew about the laws of the universe are out the window.
Mm-hmm,
what's
absolutely.
Next?
Oh,
absolutely.
See, to me, that's more appealing. It's
I don't
like,
know.
Oh, I get to rethink stuff. Someone being on fire to me just feels too. I don't want to ever see that.
You know, I actually, this is a slight tangent, but when I was on set and I was talking to some stunt people who were going to be set on fire that day.
Wow.
And they were talking about how they like worked up to that. Like, that's the cush stunt job. They were like, oh yeah, when we were young,
really?
We had to get hit by cars and we had to jump off of things and stuff like that. But that's it. We've worked our way up and now we have graduated to being on fire. This is the cush.
I wonder if that's like there's just less risk involved, like there's more control, like a car accident. It feels like there's more things that can go wrong.
Yeah, I guess like maybe it's just like you and the element, and you can like I don't know roll yourself
control
out
it more
rather than like somebody else driving and hitting you with a car or something like that. Mm. But now when I think if I were to see a Man on Fire, I'd be like, They're mostly all right.
Yeah.
He's probably might have wanted this their whole career.
He's making double time right now. So
so many Vietnam War protesters were successful stuntmen.
For the SAG health insurance. That's why they did it. It's really why they did it.
Wow. Well, I'm glad we cleared that up. But Giovanni, I think I got a sense from when I asked you to pick a movie. You're not quite a horror movie person. Is this correct?
I am not a horror movie person. You asked me, you said we were going to talk about horror movies, and I sent you a list of 7 horror movies, which was the whole list of the ones I've seen in my life.
Yes. Do you like seeing, or I mean, I guess you don't, but did you see these in theaters, or is this something like at home with friends?
I saw Hereditary like, I want to say 2 years ago. So at a house with a partner that I had talked to. Oh no, we were just friends at that time. And I said, like, I had been told by so many people, like, Hereditary is such a good movie. This friend, like, absolutely loves scary movies. We spent a lot of time together during quarantine. We were like quarantine buddies.
Sure.
Okay.
And so this was like my like friend extension of like, I know you love watching horror movies. I will watch one. It is required that you will not leave that night. You will spend the entire night.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Have you gotten freaked out before by other movies?
Absolutely. When I was a teenager, my friends, like, people understood that I'm like a very, very scared person. And like, people thought it would be funny to take me to scary movies. And so, but I will scream in a movie theater. I will scream aloud, not hear myself doing it. And people will complain afterwards. Yourself?
Well, what is it about? Like, I just curious to like get down to like, what is it that like disturb? Is it like violence, gore, suspense, or the supernatural? Like, is there all of it?
I'm really, really scared of aliens. I don't like a jump scare. I absolutely hate that shot when somebody's already looking at you, when you're like scanning the horizon or something, a person in a window who's already staring at you. I hate that. And I don't like gore. I mostly don't see it though, because my eyes immediately shut.
Sure.
Oh, you just resist it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's, you know, we've already mentioned the movie. We might as well just get it today. We're kicking off 5 Cold Screams with Hereditary. John, what's the deal with Hereditary?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Hereditary. It was written and directed by Ari Aster. And when the matriarch of the Graham family passes away, her daughter and grandchildren begin to unravel cryptic and increasingly terrifying secrets about their ancestry, trying to outrun the sinister fate they have inherited. It stars Toni Collette, Alex Wolff, Millie Shapiro, Ann Dowd, and Gabriel Byrne. It was released on June 8th, 2018, and made over $80 million off a budget of $10 million. Pretty good investment there. Peter Travers of Rolling Stone gave the film 3.5 out of 4 stars and called it the scariest movie of 2018, saying, "It's Collette giving the performance of her career, who takes us inside Annie's breakdown in flesh and spirit and shatters what's left of our nerves. Her tour de force bristles with provocations that for sure will keep you up nights, but first you'll scream your bloody head off." And Richard Roper of the Chicago Sun-Times said, "Collette deserves Best Actress consideration for playing another mother trapped in another inexplicable spine-tingling situation." And that is the deal with Hereditary.
Is the other one Krampus?
Yes. So, Giovanna, this was one of your horror movies. Why Hereditary?
I mean, I'm not a horror movie person, but I do love a good movie. And this one came highly recommended. Yeah. Also, Toni Collette is like my number one. Like, number one, maybe number two, but she's always like in my top.
Top three, definitely. Yeah.
And I just watched United States of Terra yesterday. Like,
the whole thing?
just revisiting it, and I was just like, God, she's still just the best. So
yeah,
that was why I made an exception for Hereditary. Also, I love families.
And what a beautiful portrait of a family, Hereditary. So do you like Hereditary? Like, do you think Hereditary is a good movie? Am I correct in that?
I'm glad that I saw it. I'm okay. There are still images that I never saw and images that I will never unsee.
Sure.
But I am glad that I saw it. I think that she was incredible. I think that they're right. I think that the kids were great.
Yeah.
It was freaky, but it was fucking real.
Yeah.
that like seance scene when she just like wants to get out of it. Like, I was like, yeah, that's real. Like, it can be like, yeah, this is really happening and I don't like it.
Yeah. So are you not, did you check out his follow-up film, Midsommar? Fair enough.
Yeah,
no.
That makes sense.
It's about as intense as this one. Maybe less intense, yeah. Even, I would say.
Oh, is it less? I don't know. I don't need anything else.
Fair enough. You're doing fine.
There's more of a sweet period in Midsommar than there is in it. This one feels like bleak from moment one. Like,
it does open with a murder-suicide, John.
Yes, but Midsommar also has some like, oh, this will be fun. Maybe they'll be okay. But no.
It's a lighthearted murder
movie. A little
bit
more, yeah.
I do not know what movie John was watching, but okay.
I'm not saying it's overall, but there's like a little bit, you have a little bit more fresh air in Midsommar.
Well, it's literally set during the day for most of the month.
There's
that
show as well, yes. There's a lot more sunshine.
And we're not selling you on Midsommar. We're not going to try.
To me, that feels rude because I'm just like, I want some places to feel safe. I want daytime to feel safe.
Right.
If it feels bleak, I want it to be correct that things are bleak
corner.
Or scary.
Yeah. And if like Swedish people are your comfort zone, this would ruin mm-hmm. going to IKEA.
No, you'll never go.
Forever.
Yes. And
you'll
there's
never
gummy fish.
Get out of there. Give me Anna. Well, what about you, John? Have you seen Hereditary before?
I saw it when it came out in theaters, and I think it was, I don't know what was going on in my life at the time, but it was one of those movies where after 15 minutes I fell asleep and I woke up when it was over.
Oh!
And it's not because the movie was not good. I just, my body went, oh, you're in a dark room, relax. And so I was technically the second time I watched it, but it was like the first time I watched it. I think it's great. I think Toni Collette is indeed incredible. The whole time I was like, she's the one of the bravest actresses ever because she mm-hmm. plays a character that at times you're like, you are a horrible human being. And mm-hmm. she does not flinch at all in leaning into it. It is a dark, crazy movie, much like Midsommar. You get to a point where you're like, I have no idea where this is going. I have no idea how this is going to end. I'm never going to make sense of it. So I'm just going along for the ride. Mm-hmm. And in that way is really great and fun. Yeah, so I'm glad I actually finally fully watched it.
So a thumbs up from John.
A thumbs up for me. How about you, Mark? What is your history? What's your 23andMe with Hereditary?
Well, the first time I saw it with my boyfriend at the time. We were big horror movie fans, so we always loved getting like real stone in the parking lot, then going in with our popcorn and candy.
Classic.
And then 30 minutes into the Hereditary, we're like, oh, this is not that kind of movie. And then I'd like
it's not
some
tourist trap. No.
Yeah. But I loved it because I think, oh, it's like such a good, it's an actual, like a real movie. It's just not like a thrill machine, mm-hmm. a spook machine. But then I ended up like promising two other people I'd see it with them, but they couldn't go at the same time. So I saw it three times in the theaters.
You,
and I think
Mark Rennie, gosh. You keep your promises.
I keep my promises.
So is your personality like darker?
I don't think any more than
times?
Normal.
He just loves air conditioning. That's
I love air conditioning.
He loves an air conditioned room.
Let me tell you that I love getting out of the house when I can. Okay. And I don't have to go to a nightclub.
Get
or
away from the
bar.
Wife. He loves it. Give him any excuse.
I'll see anything. So this, I think my first time seeing it since I saw it in theaters. And I thought, and I also love Midsommar, and I love that. I think it's one of the best recent horror movies of like the last 10 years. I think it's like that good. I think it's something we'll be talking about 50 years from now if we're all still alive. I just think it's wonderful. I think the family drama works and the horror elements are so good. And also I love you. It's one of those movies where you do feel like, oh, this is what I feel like actual evil would feel like.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? With just
like
these
confusing.
Normal looking people too. Like this cult is just like a bunch of normies. But yeah, that's the most fucked up, darkest people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look at who votes our electorate. You know? So
I did a great job of just like, this is what evil looks like when it's just existing among
yeah.
you in the normal world. When it's like when something's happening inside your classroom. I think that scene was absolutely powerful. Like,
yeah.
That yeah. hand acting was
that
the best
was
I've
so
ever
crazy.
Seen in my life.
Yes.
And you love the Muppets.
I absolutely love the Muppets. My dad was a Muppet, and I think
I've
that
heard.
This kid was better.
That wow. puts so many things into perspective.
That's why your last name is Grover Jr.
That's why your middle name is The.
Well, let's get into it. As you may or may not know, Giovanni, we're looking for the gayest movies ever. So we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. And at one point, you are going to come up with a category.
Come up with a category or pre-existing
pre-existing category.
Look, this off of the wheel. We keep forgetting to talk about this beforehand.
So don't. When we get to the wheel segment, it all makes sense.
Yeah,
don't worry about it.
Trust me.
Okay.
But this is our current top five gayest movies ever. So this is what you're up against. In fifth place with an 89.81%, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. In fourth place with a 90.37%, Madonna, Truth or Dare. In third place with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. In second place with a 93.21%, Hedwig and the Angry Inch. And currently number one, still gayest movie ever with a 94.83% is Female Trouble. I forgot to do just the horror movie version of the list, but we got a lot in the top 20. There's Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, 80%. The Craft has an 84.20. The Lost
Babadook.
Boys.
Babadook.
We haven't done the Babadook
yet. But all right, Giovanni, if you had to guess now, how well do you think Hereditary is going to do?
How gay is Hereditary by percent?
Yeah, like if you had to guess. Just a guess.
If I had to guess, I would say 36%.
Fair enough. 36%. Yeah, I'm watching this. I was like, this is not very gay at all, but a wonderful movie.
Yeah, great movie.
And was it supposed to be gay?
It doesn't have no one.
Okay.
No.
I hate when I'm not gay enough. It's the note I always get.
Really? I've never gotten that
every
note.
Audition.
Isn't that interesting?
No, this Broadway dancer, singer, storyteller. Weird. Real weird. Well, let's get into it. The first group of categories are the canon categories. So for these, we'll each give a score between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all three of our scores. So, Giovanni, what would you give Hereditary on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters? Is there anyone who's actually gay in this movie?
Oh, that they say? I think
that
zero?
Would be, they don't say, but what about Joan, her friend Joan?
Oh, yeah.
Bit and of a busybody, Ann Dowd. She's really, she's definitely trying to seduce Annie in a way. She's definitely
they
trying to get her
vibe.
In her. They do have a weird,
there's
like, get her in my claws.
There's some vibe going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's some scenes in high school classrooms. There's got to be a gay kid or two in there somewhere.
Okay, okay,
it's
okay.
It's not at zero.
I see how we play. Okay, okay.
I would also bring up this. This is a big one.
Okay.
What about Paimon himself, the demon? He promises riches if you get him a hot male body. Is he so different than Ryan Murphy?
Maybe not.
Oh, I love that. Also,
he does kind of covet.
I think when you're eternal, you're inherently pansexual.
I would assume.
But you, after a while, you're like, I'll put it wherever.
It's all just, I mean, it's like, what are genitals when you're... When you don't have a body, like you know, this is like,
exactly, yeah.
Okay, thank you for this clarity. I'm gonna go with, I'm gonna jump up to 64%.
64. I didn't mean it to be that persuasive, but go nuts.
Okay. So we've got a weird spirit god. We've got maybe
technically a demon.
Excuse me, a demon. Maybe Ann Dowd, and some kids in the classroom. I'll go. What did you give it?
She gave it 64.
64. I'll go 34.
Yeah, I don't even believe my own argument. I'll give it a 25, which I think is still high. But hey, it got a 41.
Okay.
And that's, we'll say, 25 points lower than All About Eve. All right. Our next category, gay icons. How are we doing on gay icons?
Well, I mean, I think it's Toni Collette.
Yeah, absolutely. What about Ann Dowd? Is she not a gay icon?
Yeah,
Aunt Lydia from Handmaid's Tale. I mean, she's not, you know, Olivia Newton-John, rest in peace.
No.
I had my first orgasm to Toni Collette.
Okay,
really?
So what happened? I it was a Little Miss Sunshine. I paused it so that nobody else would come into frame. I was like older, like I think I was like 22.
Yeah,
my first orgasm.
Wow.
Yeah, but I was like, there was just something about how like real she was and how, what a great actress. I just like, I just,
was
I
that the first time you had seen her.
Her
in anything?
No, no. I was like, I already really liked her. Also, I never remembered that she's not American because her accent is flawless.
Yeah.
Flawless. But yeah, I was so surprised. I was like, wow, just like a still of Toni Collette, like having a hard day was like.
Yeah. What was the scene that you like, what was happening?
Like, she was like, she was really upset with Greg Kinnear for like his book deal not going through.
I mean,
who wasn't?
Fan the Flames.
Yeah. Oh, where is my vibrator?
Book deal. Hold on.
Crack my spine.
Let the river run. Okay.
And I just tried not to overthink it, you know? It was just like,
you
something's happening.
No.
And I'm just, this has never come to fruition for me.
You found
and
your little Miss Sunshine.
I did.
Sure. That's
Thank
nice.
So right. Yeah. So to me, she's absolutely
a bit of a sexual awakening. Yeah, that sounds huge.
Yeah, I mean, I've never stopped. Never stopped.
No,
that never day. Stopped.
There's also Millie Shapiro. She was Matilda on Broadway.
She was
the sister.
Yeah.
And do we think A24 is a gay icon? I do feel there's a certain segment of millennial gays who would love her. Or love that. Yeah, her. A24, sure.
Gender
A24.
Her.
Yeah.
What is the big gay movie from A24?
I think it's just the overall, the like vibe, A24.
I think when I think A24, I think like smart, cool, like what the cool kids move. Like,
yeah, like Zola,
the movies that movie, you know, stars like, want to make.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
your body's body's
bodies. But it
doesn't
feel to me like the gay place.
Yeah,
I just think gay people are partial to like, I love an independent movie studio.
I do. I like A24. I like the movies they put out. If I was going to like categorize it as anything, I would probably say just like cloudy. I feel like it's cloudy in most
of the movies.
Yeah.
Right. And then we get a Judy Collins cover of Both Sides now over the end credits.
Mm.
But I think the majority, like set, I'm not saying my score is 75, but 75% of my score will be because of Toni Collette.
Toni Collette.
Okay, so we're rating the gay
icons.
Gay icons. Okay, I'm going to say 24.
24.
A24%.
Wow, A24.
I think Toni Collette is sort of like the hipper Meryl Streep for like gay like movie for like movie gays to like love. So I'll give it a 50.
50. You know, I was thinking 50 as well. I'm going to give it a 50 as well. Giving it an average of 41.33, which is 5.34 points lower than Blue Crush. And that had Michelle Rodriguez.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, gosh. I just watched Blue Crush last week. She was my sexy number one for until like recently.
Michelle Rodriguez?
Makes sense.
Yeah.
She's great. She also looks the same now. She's not aging.
Yeah.
How
That's
fun.
Fun. Good for her.
What is her skin regimen? Let's talk to her dermatologist.
All right. Speaking of checking out skin, the queer gaze. By this we mean, how can you, I'm starting to think of this, how can you tell like, oh, it feels like this is like by okay. queer people, for queer people, like this shot, you know what I mean? Like imagery that is like, oh, there's like a queer vibe to this like imagery we're getting. It's kind of how I'm starting to think of this category. And I think it's quite low in this movie.
I mean, tree houses feel queer.
Tree houses.
There we go.
There's a treehouse, right?
That's the end of the movie.
We saw the same movie.
Treehouses feel queer to me. It's like, this is like, I don't know. This is where you like take the magazines you found in the woods. Sure. Or,
like whimsical architecture.
I think just the fact that like it isn't, like as you were saying earlier, these aren't perfect bodies. These are sort of like weird looks. And the fact that I think Toni Collette allows herself to not look beautiful, even though she is beautiful, but she allows herself to look sort of like exhausted and tired and going through grief, to me feels like the queer gays being like, let's show this.
Well, most horror movies have a history of like putting their ladies through the ringer, though. Like, not, you don't come out of a horror movie.
No, I get that, but like, she's not looking, she doesn't look glamorous in the midst of it, but in that way sort of does. Am I making sense? No.
Mm-hmm. No.
Thank you, Giovanni, for your support.
There are lots of naked people, though, speaking of real bodies.
Yeah.
Flooding the frame. And is there something queer about like going into the movie starts with like a shot of like a miniature house only for that to be revealed to be like a real thing? Like, okay, where's what is reality here? You know, yeah, these are all pawns in a game.
It has definitely like a strong visual aesthetic.
It's a beautifully photographed film movie. It's Gorgeous.
Oh, I think taking your sister to a party, that happens, right?
It does.
Yeah, that feels like that's us. Like, that's the queers, like, getting taken to a party and, like, feeling weird.
Well, when you have to take your little sister to a party, that's called a galbatross.
Is it? Sorry.
No.
It's going to be.
I'm so sorry. I apologize.
No, don't apologize.
Well, what do we think for a queer guy? I don't think this is particularly...
No.
I think Ari Aster, pretty much a very straight man,
yeah,
directed this movie. So what do we think, Giovanni, if you had to put a score on the queer gaze?
9%.
Nine.
Oh, G-A-Z-E. Got it.
G-A-Y-Z. I will say 12.
12. For that house... A spooky 13, I'll give it. Give it in an average of 11.33, which is 57 points lower than Back to the Beach. This is actually the lowest queer gaze a movie has gotten in this current scoring system. The next highest is The Invitation with 27. Do people like hearing these numbers? I don't know. Let me know. No one's telling me to stop. So I guess I keep doing it. All right, our next category. Entrances with pizzazz. Well, I think the actual that dollhouse opening is a pretty great entrance when the dad walks through the door and like, oh, this is a bedroom. This is an actual real bedroom now.
Sure.
It kind of breaks the reality. And that's pretty fun and jarring. There's also a great whip pan in the party when they reveal Peter has weed.
That's fun. Okay.
That telephone pole's got a great entrance. Well, the first time we see it.
Enter?
Yeah, because like the camera's like following the car and then it like
five
pans over and like stops right on it. I think it draws your attention to it for sure.
Notice this. Right.
I don't know. I don't think these entrances were very zazzy.
No.
I will say this one entrance. How about anytime Paimon enters somebody's body?
But it's like hard to know.
No, you see like the little flicker of light every time.
That's true. I will say the moment where
it's hard to know. I say one thing. That's true.
You know what? You're right. I rescind everything I've ever said.
I was like, do we ever define a little flicker of light as pizzazz?
I would. Light coming from nowhere. He is
also
demonic
said, like
light.
Someone walked into a room and no one noticed. That's pizzazzy.
Sure. I'm rooting for the movie. I love the one that really is funny to me is when Annie like shows up to the support group the second time and she was like, it's all shot from the dashboard cam. She's like, I'm not going. So she pulls away. But then Joan runs into frame going, Annie, stop, like waving her hands like a real middle-aged lady. That one's real fun.
I will say, I'm going to say 5%.
Five?
Yeah. And I think that's a general.
You see a floating Toni Collette levitate up into a treehouse. Is that not an entrance? Levitating.
But we don't
into
see
a
her enter the treehouse.
We do see her enter the treehouse.
But if we were in the treehouse and we saw her.
I think we're splitting hairs here.
We're splitting heads.
Yeah.
I just feel like if I was like in somebody's backyard and I saw them float up into a treehouse, I wouldn't be like, oh, they just entered. Like they entered that treehouse. But if I'm seeing
them, this is not
there.
But we are approaching this from entrances with pizzazz first. You know what I mean? So now that we are looking for entrances with pizzazz, how does floating seeing your mother levitate into a treehouse?
But that's like being
entrance.
Backstage and watching someone like be on the elevator that goes onto the stage.
It feels like more of
We're
an exit to
the,
me.
I agree with Giovanni on that.
All right. Fine. So Giovanni's giving it a 4. John, what are you giving it?
I'll give it a 23.
23. You guys are nuts. I'm giving it a 25. 17.33. All right, the next one. I think we're going to make up a lot of points here. The Mike Pence anxiety scale. How much anxiety do you think this movie would give Mike Pence?
This movie is so great at just having a creepy vibe throughout. Like even before it like launches into like weird supernatural territory, you're like, something is up.
This
like,
is this a fucked up family.
Movie, you're like, this movie is, there's something fucking weird going on this whole movie. And it just like, you have to be comfortable being not comfortable to enjoy this movie.
Well, because so much of like the family relationship is fucked up before any of like the horror stuff. Like no one really talks to each other. Everything's like terse. There are so much like not being said. And it's
he would probably hate that group therapy session.
That's the part you think he would have the biggest
problem?
Not the demonic
worship.
Oh, and then the demonic worship, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I maybe I don't understand the category, but when, I don't know. Wouldn't the demonic worship be like, oh, yeah, he'd be like, I get it.
This makes sense.
And this now I'm at home.
Well, I will say I did look Christian Spotlight on the Movies, our window into the evangelical mind, did review this movie.
Oh, okay.
They said the occult actions in the film are not glorified and ultimately present the family's downfall. But Christians, or anyone for that matter, will be made extremely uncomfortable. Allowing your eyes to see such wickedness is something that anyone should be wary of, especially those who are sensitive or have a background in that environment. I don't know what kind of environment you have to be like.
I have a background.
But they also thought it was extremely well made and that Toni Collette should have gotten an Oscar nom.
I love the balance.
It's such a weird review of the first like three quarters of the review are like glowing, like it's so well done, like the direction, the acting, the writing, terrific. But then the end, like, but Christian shouldn't see it.
But we should watch it. God. We should not taste such glories.
Imagine just like living your life like that. Like, oh, I can't see this because of they talk about the devil. Grow up.
Yeah, know thy enemy.
It's a conversation. Jeez.
Yeah, we're just talking about the devil. The devil can't do anything. What has he done? Nothing.
Knock on wood. She goes away. We're fine.
Show me the receipts for the devil. That's what I say. So I think Mike Pence would have a lot of anxiety for this movie.
I don't think he'd like this movie at all.
He definitely wouldn't like it.
I agree with the Christian report that it shows their demise. It doesn't glorify it. It's like, this is a bad thing.
One of the things I love about the movie is the end where it finally, also we should say spoiler, you should watch this movie. Yeah. Everyone should watch this movie.
Yeah.
Unless you're sister was killed by a telephone pole. Spoiler after the fact.
But you probably know that you shouldn't watch this movie.
Yeah. But the end of the movie, when like the kid, the brother is finally like possessed by Paimon and is being worshipped, that the music is like soaring and like it acts, the movie feels like triumphant, you know, like it feels like a triumph, like a win in a way. It doesn't feel like, oh, evil one, this is dark and fucked. The music is like this like glorious, almost like spiritual choir, like I don't know, just that's what I find so disturbing about the movies, that evil wins and it feels like a triumph.
I love the ending because I do. I love in movies where it's not like, yay, we succeeded in things going back to normal.
It just got worse.
I like that it's like, no, like this is where what we've been building to happen.
Yeah.
And it feels like acceptance. It feels like
resignation.
It's just like, this is what it is. So let's just get into it.
Let's get wicked. Is this more wicked than wicked?
I mean, they don't belt as high.
Sure. Well, Toni Collette hits the rafters.
Oh, that's
she
true.
She does literally hit rafters. True.
She does defy gravity.
She's literally defying gravity.
And she's also been on Broadway. So there you go.
Oh, does she sing?
She does, yeah.
She does?
She does. I saw her in The Wild Party. She showed her boobs in that. I've seen her boobs.
Oh.
Giovanni would have loved it.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to see her. Everyone else needs to leave. And in a blouse.
So I could just miss me and her alone in this theater.
Screaming at her children is how you like her.
a partner of similar age and size.
Oh, I see. Well, what do we want to give this for the Mike Pence anxiety scale on 0 to how much anxiety do you think Mike Pence is going to have?
50%.
50. You think he might do okay?
I think there's like cult aspects to it. There's weird possession. He doesn't like this. I'm giving it a 90.
90. I think I'm going like evil wins. So I think he would hate that. And it's presented as a triumph. So I'm going to go 97.
Oh, you really upstaged me, Mark.
I really did. Giving it a 79. Hey, that's pretty good.
Still high, even though I dragged it down.
You dragged it down. It's 3 points lower than Death Spa. All right, our next category, I'll probably make up points here. Hell on Heels. And by this, we mean feisty ladies.
What? What?
Yeah. How feisty are the ladies?
What? Pass.
You take offense to the very category.
I don't have time to pick apart why it bothers me. I just decide to pass.
We could leave yours blank then. It will just take the average of John and I's score.
Let's talk about it. If you want to chime in, you can chime in. I think here's the thing about Toni Collette's performance in this movie. It's the bravest. It's one of the bravest performances in cinema because she is at times. On the one hand, you're like, oh, she's going through some insane, horrible things she's going through emotionally. But then there are times where she acts like a total, complete, unredeemable nightmare. And it is amazing to me. I think like that she just like leans into it so much. So in that way, I feel like I would give it a 98 because she's just is horrible self. Like she's just like all those things, which like on the one hand make sense. And then to me, the other hand, I was like, you are an insane nightmare. But it was so oddly thrilling to watch her play a complicated, unlikable person that was so compelling.
I can't disagree. And that character is causing pure chaos in this house, causing everyone to have nightmares, throwing paint thinner on her children in the middle of the night and threatening to burn them alive,
right?
Grabbing her son's head. Well, there's a theory that's all these things that happens when she's sleepwalking is what the part of her that knows like what her mother is trying to do, preparing her own children to be a host for Paimon.
Right.
When she's sleepwalking, she knows like her body's like, I got to kill these kids so Paimon can't come on
to protect them.
Well, to protect everything, you know.
Sure.
Fun theory. So what do you want to give it for Hell on Heels, John?
97.
97. I'll go 90. Giovanni, would you like to remain quiet?
Were you dropping coins in a bucket? Well, there was like a noise after. Did you guys hear that? 97, clunk.
He just types very loudly.
Clunk.
I do have a mechanical keyboard.
He's actually chiseling into a slate.
It takes a long time to do these numbers. All right, well, Giovanni is recusing herself, which means it gets an average of 93.50. Even if he said 0 or 1, it would bring it down. That's what you want to do. But recusing is the ultimate refusal, and I
am
for it. All right, finally, the last category. Let's hope you like this one. Oh, my God.
Categories.
The last of the canon categories. On a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend Hereditary to a gay person?
Hmm.
I mean, if they like Toni Collette.
Yeah, I would recommend this to anybody.
But imagine, like, you're at brunch, think of a gay person, and they're like, I've never seen Hereditary. What do you tell Oscar Montoya if he says, oh, I've never seen Hereditary? What do you say to him?
I mean, honestly, I would be like, hey, this movie isn't as stupid as some of the things you like, but I think you'll love it.
Fair.
You'll love it.
Okay, gotcha. All right, now it's Mano Agapian.
Oh, Mano. I would be like, this is you're going to love this. I think we're all going to love this, everybody. Turn off Troll 2 that Oscar is forcing us to all watch. And let's watch Hereditary.
Very different experiences.
Very different experience.
So if we could put that into a number, what would you say, Giovanni?
95%. 5% for the people who might be triggered.
Sure, fair enough. My mother levitated once. I can't go through that again. What about you, John? What do you think?
I will say, I think it's a great movie. I think Toni Collette is great. There's nothing that feels gay essential about it to me.
Sure.
But I will give it an 80.
80. It is wild that she wasn't even nominated for a freaking Golden Globe. And they give those to anybody.
That seems crazy. Because she's so good in this movie.
So committed and like just being unhinged. Like
her
truly.
Her cry. Oh my God. Her cry.
Yes.
That like guttural. Oh
that guttural. Like, how do you do that? I'll give it a 91, giving it an average of 88.67, which is 8 points higher than Death Spa, and also 40, exactly 40 points higher than Funny Lady.
Okay.
This is not a Funny Lady in this Hereditary. Mm-hmm. All right. Now we're into the wheel category.
Spinning wheel.
So these categories are all categories previous guests have brought in. We put them on this wheel, which is an app on my phone.
Okay.
So we're going to spin it twice. Whatever categories randomly pop up, that's how we will judge this movie. Then we have another wheel of listeners submitted categories. We'll spin it once, and whatever category comes up from that, we'll use judge the movie. And then after that, you will either come up with a category, or also Mark and I could suggest potential categories that already exist on the wheel that you might want to use. You can okay. do that instead.
Oh my God, this is so many things.
Exactly. That's why it was confusing earlier.
It feels like when the, you know, even like in with a in like ballroom, how like in I think they were there was a scene in Pose where like they're like they're or I or am I thinking of I'm sorry. I never remember what I was watching, but like where they're just like there are too many categories now. Like, yeah, a category right. for every queen yeah, coming
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
Well, that's what this is. So here we go.
Post-apocalyptic forest ranger.
Realness.
Scooter as transportation.
Scooter Ooh. As transportation. Does anyone ride a scooter in this movie?
They should have. No, I don't think there's a scooter. There's not a Razor. It's just Volvo. A lot of Volvos.
This is from Pieces of April.
I don't think anyone rides a scooter.
There's no, none of the high school kids ride a scooter.
That woman's ghost nephew could have been on a scooter. We don't know.
Does someone have...
It's fair. No.
It was windy. Yes. It was windy. Could have been whizzing around on a Razor.
That's true.
No, we can't even stretch this one. What do we want to give it?
Zero.
Zero.
I'll give it a 3 just because I'm sure someone in
you're high school sure?
Scene. I'm positive someone at high school rode a scooter.
Somebody rode a scooter. Also, you keep on, y'all can't see this, but John has repeatedly held up 4 fingers as he says 3.
Right? Oh, no.
Signifying how wild this answer is.
He's in charge of our finances. <That's> worrying. That's why I handle the scoring, at least.
Clunk.
I'll also give it a 0. Give it a 1 in scooter as transportation. Okay, devastating right. wheel. Who's behind this wheel spinning? Paimon himself?
Dropping the robes.
Dropping the robes.
I don't know what that means.
So that comes from, I believe, Sister Act 2, where they were like, right before they go on for their big performance, when the Whoopi's like, drop the robes, we're just going to be ourselves.
Oh, the robes. Oh, okay, great.
In a way, I would say like Toni Collette's performance is almost like being so vulnerable. You know what I mean? Like opening up, being so raw. In a way, is like dropping the robe, making just like presenting your like exposed heart in a way. There's something robe drop-ish about her performance, I would say.
Sure. I think there's also just something to like the cult revealing itself at the end.
Yes. I think
they're
like,
naked.
Absolutely.
They
put on
their
put
robes.
On the robes.
Yeah. Please.
We're going to worship Paimon now. Yeah, I think it's big time drop the robes.
This big time big robe time. Droppage movie. Mm-hmm. Not a scooter movie for fans of scooters.
No, but robe dropping.
If that's your thing, this is for you.
Pure catnip.
I'm gonna go high. I'm gonna say 72%.
72.
I'll give it a 62.
62. I'll give it a 87.
Oh.
Oops, I wrote 97. See, John, I know the difference when I make a wrong number. I'll give it an average of 73.67.
If I typed it in, I would have known.
All right, now we're into the listener category.
So this wheel is not as many categories on it, but we're going to spin it once and see what comes up here.
But it's growing. These are listener submitted categories. If you want to submit a category, there's a link to the Google form in our show notes.
Well groomed.
The description of the character, how well groomed, neat, and well put together are the characters and movie itself. Mise en scène, anyone? This person said it would be a thrill to be credited. No social media. They don't touch the stuff, but it's just longtime fan Patrick Smith. Well, thank you, Patrick.
Thank
Smith.
You, Patrick thank Smith. You, Patrick long time. Smith.
One of our founding fathers, I believe. I think this movie is so like the compositions of this movie is so well. He had this thing storyboarded like 3 years before they even like
the miniatures. Agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah, the world is beautiful immaculate. And well kept.
There's so many, yes. Especially towards the last 30 minutes when like time starts shifting, like they'll go from day to night in an edit. And like those, like mm-hmm. when the son is like sitting on his bed and it goes to an instant cut to him in the high yes. school class, like that stuff is so good.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yeah, this is like a very fashionable movie.
But like
very fashion.
Not like fashion, but like it looks like it had like the
A style.
Yes, that's what I meant. A very stylish movie. Thank you. Thank you, Mark, for mocking me into the correct word.
Hey, whatever it takes.
But the characters have a groundedness to their looks.
Yeah. It's not like mind-blowing fashion or anything, but
it doesn't look out of place, but it
if
looks
anything,
good.
People look poorly groomed the more the movie goes on. But the movie itself, I would say it's very well groomed.
Yeah, that's why I'm having a little bit of a hard time, because those things are not the same.
Because if they had both, that would probably be like 100. But this only has one of those, really.
Okay.
Although Gabriel Byrne is pretty well groomed, the dad.
Yeah.
He's pretty neat and tidy. But
those
miniatures.
Remember him at all.
The father, he's the one who burns alive in the living room.
Yeah, when she throws the notebook in the fire and he burns up.
Oh, I do remember that.
You remember.
I thought he's probably fine. He loves this.
I mean,
forgot about it.
If you're going to set someone on fire, it might as well be Gabriel Byrne. It's right there in the name.
No.
They probably made that joke on set.
Sure.
Burn, baby, burn. Today's the day. Come on, Gabriel.
That's where you get the money.
We got our top stuntmen. So what do you want to give this for well-groomed, Giovanni?
I guess I'll go like 75.
75. Perfectly reasonable.
I'll go 71.
71, John. Little tut-tut. I'll give it an 80. Giving an average of 75.33. All right, Giovanni, the time has come for you to come up with a category, if you so choose, that we can use to judge how gay this movie is and all future movies, because we would throw it on that wheel we just spun.
Or we could suggest categories that already exist on the wheel that we think would do well for this movie. But if you have an idea for a category, let's go with that.
Is there a face category?
What do you mean? Face? Just like giving
just
face?
Serving face.
There's not a serving face.
There isn't. I like it.
Serving face category.
Talk to us. What do you think serving face as a category means? Like, how do you?
You know, expression of the eyes, emotion emitted, lip engagement.
It's a bit of like modeling kind of aspect,
yes,
right?
Cheekbones.
Portfolio work.
Yes,
there's a lot of long shots in this movie where her big first monologue at that, you know, emotional support group is one shot. Like, she does like a full, like, I'm a theater actress giving you one monologue, but the camera is just slowly panning in.
Yeah.
Right. And also very similar to the intro of United States of Terra.
Oh.
Okay. So, yes, you understand the serving face category.
We do. I love it. So, what would you give Hereditary in serving face? She does say you just sit there with your face on your face and that dinner table a blow up. Another amazing monologue she has.
Amazing.
She's got a bunch.
Have you ever seen, remember like a year or who knows what time is it? Remember when everybody was like yassifying things?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
They did that. They did one of when Toni Collette, after her husband burns to death, there's like, she like gets possessed and like all life leaves her body, but they yassified that and it looked pretty good.
I'm going to say 72.
I think for all the long shots that they have on like monologues and like really let the actors do like the heavy lifting, I'll give it an 87.
87. And we haven't mentioned there's a beautiful close-up shot of the little sister's decapitated head
with
ants crawling all over it.
Oh,
now
gosh.
That is literally
serving face. That is, you know what? I didn't see that part because I had my fucking eyes closed. But I believe you.
It.
I believe you, and I will up my score if you.
Oh,
if
sure.
You can, if you can backspace on your.
I absolutely can.
And I will. I will say 87.
87. Wow, coming in hot. I'll give it a 90.
Coming in hotter.
Giving an average of 88. Hey, it's Five Cold Screams, baby. My favorite time of the year. All right, now we are into the bonus categories.
Extra. So these categories, as their name implies, are just bonus. So it's just going to be 0 to 10% bonus category. Bonus points it gets in any of these categories. So if it doesn't do well, it doesn't work against it. But as some people like to say, it doesn't help it. So it's 0 to 10 for these next group of categories.
All right, the first one, musical potential. Do you think Hereditary could be made into a musical? Now, John, do you want to describe how this category works? Because I believe there was some confusion about last time.
There was some confusion last time, and I was incorrect. And thank you, Mark, for bringing that up and letting me giving me space to apologize. So what this category means is if the movie itself is a musical, we judge it on a different thing. But if someone has made a musical out of it, it doesn't. We're just talking about the movie itself. So do we think Hereditary
could be a musical?
Could be a musical. And we should say this category came from Midsommar, which is another Ari Aster movie.
I'm going to say 90%.
Really? You think it's very high?
Yes, I think it could be a musical. I think.
So what would you do if you were like, we're adapting Hereditary into a musical? Like, what would be like your take or your thoughts or your approaches?
God, I mean, like tonally. Okay, I haven't seen Assassins. But I've listened to the album and I feel like there's like
original cast recording. I'll take the bullet so John won't yell at you.
She's still fine. It's an album as well.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize. Sorry.
You did nothing wrong. You have nothing to apologize for.
I'm just like Pavlov's dog now.
But yeah, I think the darkness can work. I think there could be some really interesting things with like some, I'm thinking in the world of like Gregorian chants, like really satanic, like choral vibes throughout, like woven in.
Mm-hmm. You could do it like August Osage County, like just have a big, like make it look like we're looking into like a miniature dollhouse. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Is that how they did that?
They did a two-story house on stage.
It was a three-story house.
Three? Well, the budget on this thing. I thought you could call it, if you wanted to change the name, you could call a cute musical called Make Way for Paimon.
With an exclamation point, sure.
Yeah, it'd be kind of like you're a good man, Charlie Brown kind of vibe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because maybe you do it from the Colts point of view, or there's something very musical, like theater, about like finding out you're one of the eight kings of hell. Like me,
I'm
that's maybe a musical sequel in a way. If we do a stage musical sequel to Hereditary,
the second act.
Yeah, where does it go from here?
That feels like a prequel to me. Finding out you're one of the eight kings of hell. And then what are you going to do? I was going to snowboard, but now I have to
manage all these people. Yeah, I have to go torture all these souls. God, there goes my weekend. Who would we want to do the music for the Hereditary musical?
Maroon 5?
No, John, jump out a window. Never, for nothing. God. Jesus, you are the devil. Maroon 5. You ever listen to Maroon 5?
No, never once. I've never had to date rape someone, so I've never listened to Maroon 5.
Gross. Maybe I could see a Kate Bush. Someone that's got to have like a Susie and the Banshee jukebox musical. I think I'd go a little gothy, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
The Black Cure. Parade. Can we get Robert Smith to write the music?
Isn't he problematic, canceled?
No, Rob, you're thinking of Morrissey.
Oh, yeah, true.
How did I know who you were thinking about?
I would, honestly, I truly would, like, think about teaming Paul McCartney up with somebody. His new album, like, his 2020 album, opens with a song about deep, deep, deep pain. And I think he might be able to crack
get
this.
There?
If anyone can, it's Paul McCartney.
Sure.
So, Giovanni, you sticking with
Paul McCartney?
He's done a musical, hasn't he? It's called like Island Person or something. What's it called?
That sounds real.
Island Person by Paul McCartney. Yeah.
Hasn't he done one? I'm thinking of Moving Up.
Moving Out. Which is Billy
Joel. The piano guy? Yeah.
That's who I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Billy Joel.
Piano man.
What was Bruce Springsteen's? Jersey Person.
No, he just did a one-person show. There's no musical of Bruce Springsteen yet.
Seems like a missed opportunity. Well, John, what do you want to give Hereditary for musical potential?
I think it's tough. I think the tone of it would be hard to really get, and it's not a big cast, so there's not, you know, like the chorus would literally probably just be a chorus off stage.
How many people are in Fun Home, though?
I will give it
seven.
A four.
Oh my God. I like usually respect like a difference in our percentages, but that was offensive.
This one hits harder.
And it doesn't feel just wrong. It feels
like an attack.
Pointed.
Is it because both of you have like musical backgrounds and you've done musicals together?
I don't feel like I'm attacking you.
I feel like I said album instead of original cast recording, and then you were like, you don't know
correct.
Shit.
I didn't say
I'm,
that.
Whatever
Mark
you say,
said that.
I'm going to say.
Mark invented that. I didn't
do anything. I'm sitting here minding my business. Don't turn on me, John.
Facts are facts.
Facts are fat. I would love to see it. I don't know how. I'll give it a 7, though. You know.
Y'all are not right.
Oh, we disagree with you one time. I've been disagreeing with you this entire time.
It
haven't
has
said
never
boo.
Felt like this before.
Oh, I see. When she's on the other side, it's an issue. Well, maybe we could come together on this
Here
next category. Queer menace. Are there any queer menaces in this movie?
I don't really
The only one I would say is Paimon, the actual demon, is like a threat to the family. I mean, he does kill everyone in the family, which is a big threat to the nuclear family when you kill all of them.
You got to watch out for that.
You got to watch out. Like, bit of a menace.
Threatening. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think Paimon himself, the demon and the cult, are kind of like a threat to the, literally a threat to this heteronormative family.
But it doesn't feel like queer.
You don't think this guy wearing a crown, making statue of himself, doing the hand thing? That's not all the pageantry.
The lady who does the seance does have some queer vibes. And I think she's a little bit of a menace.
I could see that from Joan. Yeah.
Sure. Instigating.
Yeah. Having serving weird tea.
Why do I have to just gently touch this cup? Come on.
Queer menace. I'm going to say 6%.
I'm going to give it a 3.
3. I'm going to give it a 6 for Paimon. Giving it an average of 5. All right, our next one. Character actress makes a big swing. Well, isn't this Toni Collette's to lose?
I think Toni Collette and I think Anne Dowd, they both.
Anne Dowd is great.
Go for it.
Mm-hmm. We consider Toni Collette a character actor. Like, she does everything.
I would say so, yeah.
I will never stop bringing up United States of Tara. Have you guys watched it?
I have not. It's on Showtime, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mark?
I'm aware of it. I think I've seen a few of them.
I can tell. Oh, I don't think you have. I don't think you have.
I know she's got a husband.
Never watched just a few.
By you saying that, it doesn't feel like you have seen it.
There was a time I had a free Showtime weekend, okay? Anything could have happened. Am I watching Californication? I don't know.
I'm not going to stop bringing it up because I can tell by me bringing it up and y'all not. Just bowing down to her.
Is that your favorite thing of hers? United States of Terror? Is that your favorite?
I mean, it's absolutely, it's her performances are out of this world. Out
of this
fucking world.
So that's your favorite.
Probably the biggest canvas she has where she gets to do so much. Like, she gets to probably do the most acting.
Yes. I don't know that any role has ever offered anybody so much range.
Gotcha. It's like her SNL audition.
Oh, she has an album. Toni Collette and The Finish. She wrote all 11 tracks of their sole album, Beautiful Awkward Pictures, which came out in 2006. They've toured Australia, but haven't performed or released any new material after 2007.
I'm going to say, wait, what? Say the name of the category again?
Character actress makes a big swing.
Oh,
I would say that's how far she goes. Like, she's not like a pretty, like, oh, I'm going through a bad time. It's like, this feels real and raw. And
she gets ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I'll say 90.
A 9?
So 9.
90?
No, 0 to 10.
Oh, 0 to 10. I forgot. I'm so sorry. 9. Thank you for helping me.
I'll give it a 10.
10. Like, I feel like it's rare to see, like, an actress, like, I'm going to make it uncomfortable to watch me. It's almost like the antithesis to, like, a movie star.
Dare you to root for me.
Because that's, like, when you see someone in such those deep pangs of grief, in real life, it's hard to watch. Like, you don't know what to do. There's nothing you can do. It's amazing. I'm going to give it a 10. Give an average of 9.67, which is 2 points higher than Funny Lady. All right. Yeah. This next category, I think we're going to make up some points here. Macabre. How macabre is Hereditary?
I mean, it's all it is.
Yeah, 10.
10. Not a lot of laughs.
But I mean, it is like a cute neighborhood, I guess. It's like a cute.
It does
like
make
you always know it's not, you don't want to move there.
Yes. But it is like, I don't know. It's not like Freddy Krueger, like, I mean, I assume I haven't seen it, but like, you know.
If you can handle Hereditary, you can handle Freddy Krueger.
I'm not going to try.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
It does make Utah look pretty, though. I do think, Utah's pretty. But
yeah, and not too cold.
Not too cold, at least when we're here. Mm-hmm. It's mostly macabre. Seeing grandma desecrated graves, nut allergies.
His heads, all those
nut
ants.
Allergies.
Finding your mom's corpse in the attic. Making a miniature of your daughter's death scene.
That's macabre.
Ultimately macabre.
Yeah, okay.
It's like forgetting your sister beheaded is in the car and you just go to bed.
I don't think he'd forget. I think, I think he forgot. You think he's like, oh yeah, where did I put my glasses?
Yeah. I just had my sister's head somewhere.
Yeah.
She made her way home somehow.
Forgetting. So we all gave it a 10, giving it a 10, which is the highest any movie has gotten in the last 11 movies. No big shock there. And finally, the last of the bonus categories. We're in the home stretch. You want to stay with us. Gay actors playing gay roles. Well, there's no real.
Yeah.
The only gay role I would say is like Paimon. He's not really personified by.
Right. No one plays him.
But I'm going
to
say zero.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say zero as well.
I too will say zero, given an average of zero, which is also the lowest. So we've had in the last few movies. Lower even than Back to the Beach, which got a 0.5, but that had people on beaches.
There you go.
All right. Now we are into the iconic categories.
So these categories are broader, wide, or reaching categories. So it's 0 to 225.
Is how
ready these next couple categories.
Yeah. Yeah. Recalibrate your mind.
Okay.
All right. The first one. How would we rate Hereditary in homoeroticism? How homoerotic is Hereditary?
Two
out of 225. Yeah. I will say, Peter and his friends, when you see them texting each other, they do both. They text each other jokingly asking for dick pics.
Okay.
Which is okay. Oh, I'm not giving this 100. I'm not crazy.
All right. For that, I'll give it a 7.
Seven. You said two, Giovanni?
Yeah. I don't remember that part, but I think that has to be taken into account as well.
It must. Yeah. And I have to say, Paimon being covetous of a male body. I mean, the lady protests too much. Mm. So I'll give it a 30. Giving an average of 13. Oof.
Okay.
All right. Next one. Drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Hereditary and come away with a whole book of ideas? I think there's a lot of, like, I think Charlie, the little sister, would be a great Snatch Game character.
Sure. But how would you, like, do the look that makes you go, oh, that's Charlie?
You have her, like, carrying a little bird statue in an orange hoodie with a shirt on and the hair down. She's always in the orange hoodie.
I thought you would, it would be like some sort of
beheaded
post somehow.
Well, you do that halfway through. You know what I mean? Halfway through, yes. You got to get hit.
Third act.
Little reveal.
Yeah. I think you can get there. I would also love to see the dinner table monologue as a lip sync. Would be really fun.
You're fun.
Losing My Religion could be a good song for this.
That could work.
That's me in a corner when she's literally in the corner.
Yeah.
You get it.
Yeah, I think there's some fun
also
shit.
Also, the whole like this thing when she's like sawing her own neck off.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Do you remember that, Giovanni?
The stab. It was stabbing, wasn't it? Stabbing.
No, it was piano wire because you see the broken piano.
Was beheading herself. Okay.
Oh my God.
Our guest.
I forgot. Oh my God. I did see that.
Yeah. Remember?
Hey, you know.
Oh my God, horrible.
It's also one of those things where you're like, at first you see it and you're like, wait, what am I looking at? What am I seeing? And those end up being the most disturbing things.
Yeah.
Because you have to think about them.
God. Yeah.
Oh my God. Drag. So please, drag no, queen nobody do drag of that.
You don't want to see Hereditary drag?
No, I mean, you can do Hereditary stuff, but don't do that part.
Okay. Fair enough. You must have a rough time in October. Because I feel like LA is like crazy. It gets crazier for Halloween every year. And like all activities are like scary themed.
I went to my first scary thing. I went to Haunted Hayride last year.
That's okay.
Oh, yeah.
What'd you think?
It's not bad.
It's pretty fun.
It was high quality.
It took me like 9 months to stop finding hay in my shoes.
Wow.
So that's my one note.
There you go. Too much hay.
So what do we think for drag queen inspiration, Giovanni?
18.
Yeah, I think it's pretty low. I'll go 24.
I think you guys are being way too hard. We got horror icons here. Dracula would have a field day.
It's not like Carrie White at the prom or, you know what I mean?
Well, this has only been out for 4 years. You got to give this stuff time. I'm just saying.
Carrie was iconic right away. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Piano wire through the neck. It's pretty iconic, I would say.
I did see Babadook looks immediately.
Yeah.
Well, I'm giving it 124.
Okay.
Giving an average of 55.33. All right, our next one. This one might be tough. Actually, will definitely be tough. Queer 101. How much of this would you say is like an essential text of queerdom, this movie? I would say not in the least.
Not really, no.
Unless you're a comprehensive actress fan.
And down completist.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes. Just as like, I just like, hey, you're baby queer and I need you to know everything about Toni Collette. Yes. In that sense, I suppose.
Yes. We will be listening to Toni Collette and the Finish. we'll be analyzing all the lyrics. But this is not like a queer movie.
No. Two.
Two.
I'll give it for Anne Dowd and Toni Collette.
Together again?
I'll give it a 12.
12. Yeah, I'll give it a 10. Give it an average of 8. Finally, the last of the iconic categories, camp factor. How campy is Hereditary?
I don't feel like it's campy at all.
I think it's one of those things where, like, if you describe it to someone, it would sound campy, but to actually watch and experience, it isn't campy.
Yeah.
Right. Well, maybe this. I got a quick list of campy things I noticed in the movie.
Okay.
So here we go. Wearing jewelry to your own grave. No one being sad after a funeral. Your mother offering her breast to your child seems maybe a wee bit pushy. Being pawns in a horrible machine. Cutting off a bird's head for arts and crafts. Going to therapy in secret. Being nudged by an art gallery. Catching the ghost of your grandmother doing some sort of women who run with the wolves ceremony. Ominous utility poles. Chopping a ridiculous amount of walnuts. Sudden emotional gut punches, stained glass windows in secular buildings, tense family dinners, getting annoyed when someone interrupts your spooky seance, waking up your son to tell them you never wanted to be a mother, your mom being really excited to do a seance with you, getting a lot of tension out of a character gluing a miniature chair, ominous doormats, a middle-aged woman screaming at a teenager to get out of his own body to make way for Paimon, having a photo album that's only photos of you and your creepy cult having a fabulous cocktail party, everyone in history class seeing you get possessed by a demon, creepy naked people smiling or naked people creepily smiling. And finally, your mother levitating.
Zero.
Fair enough.
That was a list of very grounded moments in the movie.
Very grounded.
Very impressively. Impressively grounded. Seriously.
This was me reaching. There was like a good 20-minute stretches where I was just like watching the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Where I forgot.
I took very few notes because I was just watching the movie. I'll give it a 9.
9. I'll give it a 20. Give an average of 9.67, which is the lowest by a lot. The next lowest is The Invitation, which has a 24.33. Finally, Giovanni, we're into the crown jewels.
So these we don't rate. We just say yes or no.
Okay.
All right. The first one. A 50% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does Hereditary have a positive portrayal of homosexuality?
I would say no. I don't think it's homophobic, but I don't think homosexuality is an issue that is dealt with or exists or acknowledged in this movie.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Then finally, this is the very last category. Negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Stonewall.
This is not the movie Stonewall, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
All right, that's it. We're done. No more. You're almost done having to talk about this movie, this horror show.
All right, so Giovanni, now that we've been through it all, do you still think it's going to get like a 36%?
For what? What was?
That was what you said at the beginning. That was what you guessed it would score as a 36%.
Overall?
Yeah.
Do you still think like that now that we've been through it all?
Final score of like how gay it is?
Yeah. After all these questions we've just asked.
You know, the premise of this podcast.
This is what you're calculating to get to. I don't remember where I was this began.
You guessed, let me put it this way. You guessed 36%. Do you still stand by that?
I'll stand by it.
Fair enough. She's got convictions. We'll give her that.
Yes.
All right. So out of a total possible 2,218.13 points, Hereditary has scored 914.30, giving it a percentage of 41.22, making it the 133rd gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Smile, but gayer than Beaches.
Gayer than Beaches.
Hereditary is gayer than beaches. The Bette Midler movie? Wait, no. Sometimes I mix up Beaches and Lena
Kazan.
Has a 41. Hereditary has a 41.22.
That is so weird. That's so weird.
I think Beaches is scared just because of the musical numbers, but sure. But it's close.
I mean, that was also when we were doing our older scoring system, right, and it was a lot tougher to score higher for Beaches.
Bette Midler like has a fit in a perfume area of a department store.
Yeah, dressed as a singing telegram, as a bunny. As
her character is a real asshole, too. Yeah.
Oh, my God. And
Lainey Kazan is her mother.
They have Mayim Bialik.
They have a window in their living room that they can talk to each other through.
Yep. Oh, right. And, in the apartment, yes, right?
And Hereditary is gayer than that.
By 0.22 of a point, of a percentage point. Wow, a squeaker. Well, wow. I would say maybe we should rescore Beaches, but I really don't want to. I don't care enough about it. I always don't really care for that movie too much.
Fair.
But what I do care for is Giovanni being a wonderful guest. What a treat. What a dream.
Oh,
is there anything you like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Oh, golly. You can hear me in upcoming episodes of Bugs Bunny Builders and Baby Bears.
Whoa. That's fun.
That's awesome.
I can't think of any.
Is there
any
a specific character
shows.
You play, or are you not allowed to say, or is it a variety?
You'll hear me as Kathy Bat in Bugs Bunny, and Farrah. I has like a 8-episode arc in Wee Baby Bears.
Wow.
I'm at Giovanni. Wherever you're seeing my name listed on this, you can find me on any of the social media things. Just my first name, at Giovanni.
Amazing. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. It's been a dream and a delight to talk with you. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @2oldqueens, @TWOldQueens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Yes, so you can email us at @2oldqueens, @TWOoldQueens@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought. Did we get anything wrong? Did we forget anything? Please tell us.
We also have merch, right? Or a Patreon?
Yes.
Which one?
Both. Do Patreon.
We got a Patreon. You get twice the queenage. Go to patreon.com/2oldqueens and get twice the episodes.
Yes, we also have merch. If you go to TeePublic and search for 2 Old Queens, there's a lot of fun stuff you can buy for yourself and your loved ones. And a percentage of all the proceeds goes to the Okra Project. So you're not just buying merch, you're helping people out.
And that's it. We'll keep it going. Four more horror movies. That's it for us. We'll see you next time.
Love you both. Bye.
Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
We didn't get that right.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.